if you are so inclined. I want to warn you ahead of time. What we're going to look at today is, well, it's uncomfortable. Some would say it's even offensive. So I want to add that disclaimer, but it's not what I came up with or made up. It's just what your Lord and Savior said if you are one who abides in Christ. We're going to look this morning at, does the world hate you? Does the world hate you? And let me hasten to say, I pray they do. And you'll see why in just a minute. So Andy was right. Let's look in John 15, beginning in verse 18. And we'll read through to the end of the chapter this morning. If the world hates you, Jesus said, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also, Jesus said. And in verse 24, if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in the law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, capital H, God the Spirit, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Tough passage. Before we get into what Jesus was saying here, there's some definitions that we must make. First of all, we need to define the world, okay? We need to define the world. The world system, if you will, would be everyone who does not abide in the vine. Remember the metaphor that started chapter 15? I am the vine, Jesus said. My Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. The world would consist of all who do not abide in the vine. And that would include those who appear to be branches, bear no fruit, that Jesus said will be taken away and would be piled and burned. The world would also include the prince of the power of the air, Lucifer, one of the archangels, who said, I will be like the Most High. And he was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels. And he, Lucifer, Satan, is the prince of the power of the air. He also would be a part of the world. In fact, he is the instigator, along with his demonic hordes, of this hatred, the inspiration. So hatred comes and is managed by Lucifer and the horde of demonic beings that were cast out with him, who became demonic beings, I guess I should say. And that inspiration of hatred and from the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil is that alliance that we would find this festering thing called hate. So, did it strike anyone that Jesus has just finished talking about love? He has just finished teaching the disciples. He said in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." And I assume that they are still in the upper room or walking out of the upper room toward the garden. But as soon as he finishes talking about this issue of love, the real love, he then starts talking about hate. Now, another definition we need to talk about, and that's love. We are not talking about love in general. We are talking about God love, agape love. And as most of you know, there are other words in the Greek language for love than just love. We just have one, okay? So he's not talking about here love for a parent for a child for a parent. Storge, I believe that my pronunciation's off, but don't hang me with that, okay? All right? Parental love. There is phileo, brotherly love, and there is eros, romantic love. He's not talking about those kinds of love. So it's very possible that somebody who's in the world or world system could love their kids. All right? And not hate their kids. Or love their spouse and not hate their spouse. He's not talking about that kind, those kinds of love. He's talking about God love. Therefore, it is impossible for one who abides in Christ, stay with me, it is impossible for one who abides in Christ to hate. It is impossible for one who is of the world to love as God loves. Yeah, that's pretty tough, buddy. You sure you want to go there? I am there. And I got there because I just read what Jesus said. You see, the reason it's impossible for one who abides in Christ to hate is because who Jesus is, remember, flows through the branch that produces the fruit. If he is love, then if you abide in him, you are love and I am love. And if someone hates, they cannot abide in him because hatred doesn't flow from the vine who is Jesus Christ. Are we together? Do we understand now why it's called a narrow way? Huh? All right. Well, that's what we're looking at today. And I was startled. Jesus finished talking about this most precious thing, God love, and then he said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me first before it hated you. He's talking to the disciples. They are not a unique, finite set, but they are representative of all disciples down through the ages. Same thing is going to happen. The world is going to hate disciples today as much as it hated disciples when Jesus was telling them this. And so this world system, controlled by Satan and his demonic hordes, and that fallen nature that you and I inherited from our great, 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 whatever, grandfather and grandmother, Adam and Eve, okay? That old nature hates by nature. So that's where we're coming from. I want us to look at three things this morning: the reality of hatred. I want us to look at the realm of hatred and the response to hatred. Hatred ranges from "I don't love." Okay, now again, that's the reason we define these words "world" and "love" up front. I don't love as God loves, as Jesus just described, one that would lay down their life for their friends. That's the kind of love he's talking about. He's not talking about romantic love. He's not talking about loving your kids and that kind of thing. Of course, the world does that. All right? But that's not the love. But hatred ranges from "I don't love," like God loves, okay, to intense hostility, aversion, enmity, loathing. That would be maybe the two ends of the continuum of hatred. Thus, hatred is one-sided because only the world and those who do not abide in Christ can hate. If you abide in Christ, folks, you can't hate. It's not in your spiritual DNA. It's certainly not flowing from the vine in whom you abide. It can't be. And you say, well, I don't like that. That's just getting a little bit too down in the quick, you know? You know when you trim your fingernails and you get them too short? Starts bleeding a little. That's the quick, okay? And then you go in there and peel an orange and it stings, doesn't it? You're down in the quick. We're getting down in the quick a little bit here because we're getting a little bit nervous and we're saying, wait a minute. Really? If there's something I'm missing here, you're welcome to come and share with me afterwards, but I spent all week with this. And I can't see anything other than what he's saying. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you. And in this day in which we live, the banner that is being flown is to be tolerant of. Okay? If you'll pay attention, be tolerant of everyone except those who abide in Jesus Christ. Pay attention. You don't hear born-again believers in Jesus Christ who abide in Him ever put in the category of be tolerant to them. I've searched. It's not there. You know this inflow of refugees, we're not getting into the political side of that are coming to the country. I don't know how many millions, I'm told. Do you know how many of those folks are scheduled to be Christians? No. But there is no one being persecuted as much in that part of the world as Christians. Now, there are Muslims being persecuted there, I understand, etc. But Christians, folks, you know, they'll clear the room. All of you Muslims and all of you people that don't believe anything can leave. Christians stay. And they're the ones we read about dying in the paper for the most part. From Africa all the way up into the Middle East. There are no Christian refugees coming in any numerical quantity in this inflow. Tolerance is not scheduled for you and me. There will be no tolerance for you and me. Now, this is a John moment, Chuck, okay? But as I was sitting here, you know, I wasn't thinking about this, Andy. I was singing with you, brother, okay? Those are precious songs today. But it occurred to me in the Iowa caucuses that happened whenever? Last week, was it? Okay. The two people who won those, the last two presidential cycles, Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum, both believers, didn't even get a small percentage of the vote this time. And I, you know, that's off the wall. It wasn't scheduled, but I thought, why? Now, there's a lot of variables there. Maybe they didn't do anything. But something happened. Did a population change that much? Or was the, I don't know. Don't hang me with that, okay? All right. Hatred exists in what I call micro-hatred and macro-hatred, borrowing something from the economist of the world, okay? Micro-hatred would be small, maybe two people, okay? George hates Bob or something like that. Or two families, something like that. And then there's macro-hatred that would involve two people groups, two nations, two religions, maybe millions, multiplied millions of people who hate somebody or a group of people just because they're of that group. Think with me this morning of some of the more famous episodes of hatred that have existed and that even exist today. Cain hated Abel. Cain hated Abel. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He rejected Cain's. And Cain rose up and killed his brother, murdered his brother, one generation after the fall, one man is killing another man. Ishmael hated Isaac. And we're still, that has reverberated down through the generations and centuries today, folks. And that's the big thing on the front page of our paper that's going on in the Middle East and many parts of the world. The descendants of Ishmael hate the descendants of Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's son. Ishmael was Abraham's son. They're half-brothers. But God chose Isaac as the heir, and Ishmael was rejected. And folks, today what is going on in the world, many of those Arab peoples have been converted to the Muslim religion, and that's what's going on in those parts of the world today. It's still happening. The hatred is echoing down from this very event. Esau hated Jacob. Jacob stole Esau's birthright, and Esau hated Jacob. Jews hate Gentiles. In our country, the North hated the South, and the South hated the North. More soldiers were killed in the Civil War in this country, or the War Between the States, if we have any folks from that part of the world with us today. Okay, it's not called the same thing, right? Southern guy back there, okay? More soldiers were killed in the Civil War, 4 years, 1861 to 1865, than in any other war this nation has participated in, including World War II. About 450-some thousand were killed in World War II, and over 500,000 that we know of were killed in the Civil War. Folks, to take that kind of carnage of life, it has to be just pure, unadulterated hatred. Hutus and Tutsis hate each other in Africa. The Rwandan genocide, over a million, and that's just the ones that bodies were counted, killed. They hate each other. Muslims hate Jews and Christians, and they are very open to say that. Now, I know the statistics. That's actually just 1% of, okay? You want to take 1% of 1.5 million? I'll give you that, okay? A billion? I'll give you that, 1%. You do the math. 1% of 1.5 billion. That's millions of people. Don't feel secure in the fact that it's not all the Muslims. Secularists hate Christians. Atheists hate believers. Crusaders and the Muslims hated each other in the Middle Ages. ISIS, I guess, hates everybody. It's the best I can figure out. Or ISIL, or whatever you're calling it. Communism and capitalism hate. Catholics and Protestants, Northern Ireland, Ireland of a few years ago. The Hatfields and McCoys. I could not believe this. I was sitting there yesterday, you know, and on the AHC channel, they had a documentary on the Hatfields and McCoys, and I know what I'm going to be trying to share with you today. I tuned in. And I watched that documentary of that feud, that blood feud that existed between those two families, folks. It was sickening. It was sickening, the hatred that spewed out between those two families. Socialists hate free enterprisers. Republicans hate Democrats, and Democrats hate Republicans. Labor and management, the Axis powers of World War II and the Allies. We could be here until this evening, folks, going over the representation of hatred in history and in the world today. And I didn't even mention the Jayhawks and the Tigers, did I? That's right. But the seeds of hatred, as I alluded to a while ago, were planted when man disobeyed God and sinned. Those seeds of hatred that are so devastating and have been down through history were sown there in the garden when Adam and Eve chose self-desire. I will be like God was the temptation, and they succumbed to it. And that those seeds of hatred were sown. And as we mentioned, in one generation, one brother murdered his only brother at that time. Hatred is an emotion from an intense focus on self that focuses on another person or group who is not like them. There's a hatred that is seething there. Hatred is the opposite of love. I hope we see that. And so Jesus established that there are two groups, only two groups, those who love and those who hate. And he describes them as the disciples. He's talking to disciples when he says, if the world hates you, a follower of Jesus Christ, here's the reason the world hates you. So those who love, again, love because they abide in him, and those who hate, hate because they don't abide in him. You know, you've been to the dentist, and he's working down there where the business end of the of life is on that tooth. And he said, do you need some rest before I go on? Well, that's what I'm kind of asking us. Do we need to rest before we go on? If love is, abiding is. If love isn't, abiding isn't. It's where we come to. Well, that's the reality of hatred. Let's look at the realm of hatred. Jesus described that for us. If the world hates you, those who are outside the vineyard, to use his metaphor again, or to reference that, those outside of the vineyard, those not attached to the vine, those who do not bear fruit, all the same people, okay? All of those who do not abide are a part of this world system we've been talking about. And those in whom the life of the vine does not flow, hate. And those in whom the life of the vine flows, love. Now, Jesus already alluded to this. Look back at chapter 14 and verse 17. He's already broached this subject. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, it says in verse 15 and 16. And then look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Who is the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit. It's impossible for the world to receive the Holy Spirit until they come out of the world and abide in the vine. And he has drawn that strong difference between those who are the world and those who abide in him. And Jesus said, the world hates you because it hated me first. It's nothing you've done. It's what I've done in you. That's the reason the world hates you. He said, I chose you out of the world. And because I chose you out of the world now hates you. And folks, let me hasten to add at this time, assuming that I know many of your lives, that you abide in Christ. And so I'm talking to those who abide in Christ this morning. We've got to get over this desire to be accepted, appreciated, invited, included in the world events. We've got to get over it. As the old boy said, it ain't going to happen. If you truly abide in Christ, you are going to be ostracized, marginalized, rejected by the world. But here's the thing that bothers me. We are so hungry, and teenagers, I'm talking to you and the college students with a little bit of emphasis today. You know what you have to do to be accepted by the group, don't you? We won't go into the details. If you abide in Christ, they're not going to let you in. You're not going to be included. are going to be rejected, and those of you who are in the work world, and they have the office party and you're not invited, or they're having a get together over at and they leave you out, or they say after the meeting, let's go out for drinks. Oh, sorry, Mary. Then any person, we know you're not comfortable doing that, but I'm sure there'll be something on TV back at the room. Folks, don't compromise to be in the group. Do you see what he's saying here? The reason that you're ostracized or marginalized is because of who you are in Christ. It shows. It's like you're wearing a sign around. I hope you do, okay? Abiding in Christ. Yeah. If the world loves you, it's because they see you as one like them. I would be most concerned if the guys and gals were inviting me to all the stuff and didn't any way concern themselves with who I am. That would concern me far more than being left out. See why it's called the narrow road? The only way to be loved by the world is to not abide in the vine. That's what it comes down to. Because we abide in the vine, the world responds to us as it responded to the vine. What happened to Jesus in just a few hours? The hatred of that part of the world was so vehement, they beat him beyond recognition and hanged him on a cross, and he died. That's what hatred looks like. And folks, he said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me first. If you were in the world would love you as it loved its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Do you know that today, they are literally crucifying Christians in several parts of the world. Literally. And it just didn't start this week, okay? But it seems to be ratcheted up. All of those beheadings and those killing of children, I don't mean to be whatever today, okay? But who's doing that? To whom? Folks, what Jesus was saying here is happening today in the world in which we live, and it just didn't start this century. Some of the worst times are in antiquity past, and it's not going to stop tomorrow. The world persecuted Jesus. Why wouldn't they persecute those in whom Jesus lives? That's what he's saying. Let's close this morning. I want us to look at the response to hatred. Jesus said, but all these things will they do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me, verse 21. Verse 22 says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin, verse 22. Thus they hate me. They hate my Father, Jesus said, and they hate you because of me. Knowing that the world hates me, I still came to die for them. Now this is the response. Knowing that the world hated him, it didn't catch him by surprise. He's God. He has no beginning, no end. He has been watching what's going on from his place in heaven next to the Father on this earth. He's watched all of the hatred that was spewing. He knew what he was coming to. And even knowing that he would come, and in just 3 short years of interacting with him, the hatred becomes so intense they would nail him to a cross. He came anyway. He said, "They hated me without cause." He's quoting from the Old Testament. They even indicted Jesus with being possessed by demons. That's about as hateful as you can be, I think. Folks, it's time to stop complaining about how the world acts and lives. And I'm with you, okay? I'm just, you know, can't believe what the world's doing. Can you believe this happened? And we're wringing our hands, you know, and say, folks, that's how lost people act. That's the world's way of doing things. It's time we stop complaining about how the world acts and lives. They're not going to change by our complaining. The world rejects us and hates us. And what we are not doing is giving them the reason to seek the love that we live by. It's time we stop complaining and start giving them the reason to love as we love. We were the world. If we abide in Christ, we were the world at one time. We were born into sin. But today, we abide in the vine. What happened? He said to us, "I love you with an unsearchable love. Believe in me, and I will forgive your sins, and I will come in, and I will fellowship with you, and you will fellowship with me and the Father, and you will live for all eternity, and I promise you abundant life now." And you said, "Yes." And you abide in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Folks, the only difference in those who hate today and you and I who abide in Christ is the love of Christ. The story that Emily shared about that young lady whose tears just started flooding out of her eyes. That's what's going on. I don't know if she has believed yet or not. Okay? But something broke through the crust of hatred as a member of the world system. And her heart began to crack and it dripped out of her eyes. The world's not going to change. It will continue to hate unless the love of Jesus Christ invades lives on an individual basis. The very love that called us out of darkness and into life and light, the light of salvation, is the only thing, the only antidote against hatred. 1 John 2 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Folks, under the authority and power of the Holy Spirit, let's start putting love into those who love the world. Let's go out there and give them a substitute for the hatred that they are and replace it with love that, as we said a few weeks ago, they really want. That's the hole in their life. You and I, where were we? Lost and without hope. And now we abide in Christ Jesus, and we no longer hate. You see, when He came to be Lord and Savior, we became light and salt. We became light and salt. And if we will be light and salt in a world that hates, that world will reject the hatred and love as we love. Jesus, who came to the world because He loved the people, we too need to love those who hate so that they will be lovers and not haters. So we pray, witness, speak the love of God to them, that they too may live, that they too will be former haters, so that they then will be the hated like you and I are who abide in Christ. Anybody want your ticket back? Your ticket of salvation, you want it back? No. I'm in, okay? But I'm in knowing fully that the world is going to reject me. Has, is, will. And you also, if you abide in Christ. And folks, I want to say in the strongest way that I can say it, stop trying to participate with the world in the world activities. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. I repeat it for the fourth time. Narrow is the way, and few there are that find it. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Let's pray. Father, this is not easy to hear. Or to proclaim, for that matter. Because we seem to be addicted to this thing of being light. We want to fit in. We want to be invited to. But Father, if we abide in Christ Jesus, Jesus said it Himself, if the world hated you, hates you, it hates me first. So you're the reason, Lord Jesus, for the hatred that we experience. And usually there's really no apparent reason why somebody just hate us. And if you ask them, they don't know either. But Lord, with what You had to give, so that we would be hated by the world, I don't want to swap it back. I'm fully content to abide in Christ and be hated by the world, rather to be loved by the world and rejected by You. I pray for those here this morning, Father, who are yet to believe, who do not abide in Christ Jesus, who at this time in their life are friends of the world because they are of the world. I pray this morning, Father, that You would break through eyes that are blind, ears that are stopped, and show them that to abide in Christ is the only place of security and eternity with You in heaven. that they can hope for. And Father, for those who abide in Christ, for those who have repented and believed and abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that we would be content with Jesus and Jesus alone, come what may. And this dualism that we think we can live, Father, show us that that's an impossibility. For to be friends with the world is to be enemies of yours. In Jesus' name.